Okay, so we're starting the work of the Rambam son. He says, I want you to know. Do you want me to read the Hebrew and translate, or just translate? How many people want the Hebrew? Okay. Da, I want you to know. Ki kol hanimtza b'talmud v'zulato, that whatever you find in Talmud and other works, mechibrei hachamim zal balei midrashot v'maasot, the words of the sages who compiled the medrash and stories, divrei hapsakim hanimtzim b'yadeinu atam me'atim v'ne'elamim me'enei kol ha'ogim b'talmud v'rubei hamfarshim lo shalchu b'hem yadam v'lo ba'a nafsham b'sodam. He says, we have very few left in our generation, and most people don't even have access to them. They don't have copies of them. And most people who actually wrote commentaries on Talmud didn't touch the stories of Talmud. You don't find that the great rabbis actually invested time in explaining the stories of Talmud. And he adds a very harsh point. He says, they didn't know. He says, they didn't know the secrets that were being expressed by the stories of the Talmud. And my father, my teacher, he's talking about the Rambam, of blessed memory, wanted to write a book explaining the Midrashim. The Rambam wanted to write a book explaining the stories. And he mentions that in his opening of his commentary on Mishnah, and then he decided to forgo it. He was too scared. He quotes the pasuk, Vayira Moshe Migeshet Elav. Moshe was scared from approaching. So he says, that's my father. As he writes in the beginning of his book, The Guide to the Perplexed, that he changed his mind, he decided he's not going to do it.
Scared of the other rabbis?
He doesn't say what he was scared of. Well, we have to look in The Guide to the Perplexed, I don't remember.
Right.
I don't think he was scared of the other rabbis. I don't remember what he writes in the beginning of The Guide to the Perplexed. I don't remember, got to look there. And after my father, says Rabbi Avram, after his father, the Rambam, passed away, so I started explaining the stories of Talmud a little bit, and I focused my energies on this book because I thought it's going to be very beneficial to people. And nonetheless, I want to mention some ideas to you, and I want you to see the intelligent path that our sages gave us in these stories. And through what I explain now, you'll be able to look intelligently at the stories of our sages. And I'll teach you, says Rabbi Avram, and you'll give it on to others. I'll teach you the rules. You'll be able to express my thoughts. And if you listen closely to what I'm going to teach you, says Rabbi Avram, you will find that I will help you so that you don't mock the words of the sages or deny that they are true. So he's already telling us that if you read the words of the sages and you're not given the guide, you might end up thinking it's stupid. Or, if you read the words of the sages and you don't have my intro, you might think that, wow, the Gemara tells me about miracles like happened to the prophets. You read the Talmud without an intro, he says you could walk away thinking that the rabbis of the Talmud had miracles that were no less great than the miracles of the prophets. I was offered a book. Today they have all these wonderful books that tell you about all kinds of different rabbis, how many miracles they had. So I was given it for free. I said, I don't want it. They said, bring it home for your kids. I said, I don't want to ruin their education. They said, but it's stories about miracles that happened to the rabbis. I said, yeah. And it makes the prophets seem little. It makes Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron, all of them are midgets compared to the rabbis and the stories you write in these books, because these rabbis, boy, they could have 500,000 people surrounding their car ready to kill them. And they just say a parak of Tehillim and everyone runs the other way. We don't have such stories. Am Yisrael goes to war and people die. You look at the generation of giants and you see people had problems. The great Rabbi Elazar, who gave smicha, he got killed. the great Rabbi Yehuda, the great Ben Becerra, the great Rabbi Akiva. You see, they did get killed. You have so many people who were executed. So you read these stories and you think, if they were big tzaddikim, then how come the rabbis of the Talmud and the Mishnah, they didn't have these miracles? So I said, I don't think it's educational. I don't think we're taught this by the Shas. And the Shas, we're not taught to think that every big tzaddik and every big rabbi has so many miracles. Doesn't seem to be the way we're taught, not in Tanakh nor in the Shas. So the Rambam's son is writing over here, if you didn't, if you don't have my intro, and you just read the Talmud straight, you could walk away thinking that the rabbis of the Talmud had miracles just like the prophets. And you'd think, you'd think that every sage and every pious person gets miracles all the time. That's the impression you might get learning Talmud without my intro. The Talmud in Tractate Tanis tells us a story. One of the rabbis, Tractate Chulin. One of the rabbis was going to do a mitzvah. He came to the Jordan and he said, I need you to split. I'm going to do a mitzvah. So the Jordan split. So the Rambam, the Rabbi Avram doesn't tell us the story. He just says, if you read Talmud without my intro, then you'd think that the splitting of the sea for Moshe when we left Egypt, and the splitting of the Jordan, and splitting of the Jordan again for the prophet Elisha and Elio, can happen to other rabbis too, because it does say that in Talmud. If you read the text without any intro, it does say in Talmud, look at how great this rabbi is, the Jordan split for him. You have the story of Dinai that split.
Isn't it like that, that each of us could tell almost like a miraculous story? That's just
what
happens to each of us.
And still, v'chol zet tit chayev. And the Rabbi Avram says, if you read the Talmud literally, this is the conclusion you're going to reach. Because it does say that. The Talmud does tell us phenomenal stories. It says one of the rabbis left his son with the workers. The workers came to the son and they said, where's lunch? So he said, oh, my dad didn't leave you lunch. They said, no. So he said, just a second. He turned to the tree and he said, tree, give food to my father's workers because they need to eat. And a second later, the tree started bearing fruits. Fruits came out of the tree and the workers came to eat it. Okay, it does say that story in Talmud. So I'm supposed to take it literally? I'm saying it does say that. Those words are written in Talmud. It says his father showed up and said, you did that? That's disrespectful. You make God do miracles? You're not going to live. And his son dropped dead. Oh boy, he killed his own son. Wait a second. If the son was so pious that he can make fruits come out of a tree, how could the father kill him? And is the father chayav for killing his son? So these stories don't add up if you read them simply. If you read these stories as literal, then you have to say, what's going on here? What type of human being was the father? If he was so cruel, then why would God listen to him? Why would his prayers be accepted if he could kill his son over something like that? Isn't that terrible? So if you read it with a little bit of maturity, you have to say, wait a second, this doesn't work. What's going on here? So the Rambam's son says, if you read the Talmud literally, you will encounter many miracles. There are stories in Talmud that describe miracles. At first glance, it certainly seems to say that. He says, the truth is, it would be enough if I just showed you a few examples that illustrate that when Chazal tell us simplistic stories, they are really giving over deeper concept, but they're giving over these deeper concepts in an encasing that's a simple story. You tell a simple story to give over a deeper concept, but they don't take the story literally. And certainly, if you take a look at the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed, he certainly revealed and interpreted stories and said they're not to be taken literally. But I want to give you more clarity. I want to give you more examples, as I will explain shortly. I want to discern between different types of stories in Talmud. ובמשלים ממשול לך בזה הפרק. And I'm going to give you examples in the coming chapter. וראיתי להקדים לך תחילה הקדמה זו. But before I start dissecting examples in Talmud, says Rabbi Avram, I want to give you an introduction. Da, I want you to know, כי אתה חייב לדעת, and you must know, says Rabbi Avram, כל מי שירצה לעמידת ידועה ולישא פני אומרה, ולקבל דעתו בליון והבנה לעניין אותו דעת, אם אמת אתה, אם לא. If anyone wants to take an opinion, and he wants to say, I respect that opinion, and I'm going to accept whatever that opinion, whatever that person says, I accept. I won't analyze it. I won't think about it. I won't look deeper into it. I won't verify whether it's true or not. Shezeh min ha-deot ha-ra'ot, says Rabbi Avram, bad idea. You shouldn't approach life that way. Don't go accepting something just because you value someone so much. I learned by Rabbi Shmuel Schneid, the head of the Safras department at NYU. And what he used to do in his class was, every so often, he'd get off the pedestal and sit in the back of the classroom and say, now I want some students up there. And then the students would say, what are you doing, Rabbi? And he'd say, I think you guys trust what I say just because I'm sitting up there. You should be challenging what I'm saying. Check if what I'm saying is right. Look up the sources. Ask me questions. You think that just because I'm sitting up there, so I'm right? If you've checked and you verified and you see, and I deserve that credit, eventually you might trust me to some degree. But if I'm just sitting up here, so now you're going to believe everything I say? Check it out. Check my sources. So Rabbi Avram says that's a bad approach. To just believe someone, trust someone, and go with it, that's wrong. He says the Torah prohibits it, and logic prohibits it. You're not supposed to blindly follow someone. Ask questions, verify. And he says it doesn't make sense to take that route. Because if you take that route, you are succumbing to a life that is a life that's been detracted. You're taking away from your ability to live. You're taking away from your ability to understand. You're supposed to analyze what should I believe and what not. You have to ask the questions. So he says, it's first of all, let me explain to you why logically it doesn't make sense. It's just not the right way to go. So I don't think we can take what he's saying to the extreme, because if you take it to the extreme, then you can't live life. I mean, if you bring me food and I don't trust you that it isn't poisoned, then how am I going to live? Right? There is a certain amount of trust we have to give. And there are people, either by virtue of their trade, or by virtue of what they have to lose, or by virtue of what they've proven to us, that we're supposed to trust them. Otherwise, how can you go to sleep? Maybe your wife will get up in the middle of the night and kill you. How do you know?
It's happened,
right? Can you prove it? How can you sleep at night? So at some point, there's trust that we must give in life. You can't take what he's saying to the extreme. We gain people's trust. We give people trust. It's part of life. But we understand what he's saying. And he says this is not on the path of Torah. Because this is not the path of truth. And it's not the straight path. Torah gives us a path of truth. Torah gives us a path that's straight. And you're not supposed to veer off that path. Don't assume the Torah wanted you to be a dummy. Don't assume the Torah wanted you to be gullible. Don't assume the Torah wanted you to have blind faith. No. The Torah wanted you to question and verify and understand. Amar Hashem Itbarach. Hashem, blessed be He, said, "Lo tisa penei dal velo teedau penei gadol betzedek tishpot amitecha." You're a judge. Don't play favorites for the poor. Don't glorify those who are great in your nation. You must pursue the truth and the justice. So that means if you're the one who's judging a case, and a very respectful man walks in, the chief rabbi of Israel. Well, you're not allowed to factor that. You have to verify where the truth lies. V'amar, and the Torah tells us, lo takiru panim b'mishpat. When you're judging, you are not allowed to play favorites. You're not allowed to say, well, so-and-so, I respect him so much. Of course I have to honor him. ונפרש לקבלת התודעת לעמדה בלא ראייה, says Rabbi Avram. You know what? There's no difference between being a judge in a court case and being a judge in accepting what someone tells us without verifying whether it's true, without asking for a proof. That's also an area where the Torah teaches us. Logic dictates, Torah dictates. Verify. En ben shenamin lo omra venisa lo panim venitan lo. There's no difference between accepting his claim in philosophy, in an attitude, or trusting him in court without asking him for proof. Ki ha'emet ito b'li safek. In both cases, you'll say, I trust him. He wouldn't lie to me. Mipnei shu adam gadol ke'eman v'chalkal v'darda. He is like the three giants of philosophy that it says King Solomon had to contend with. Heyman, Chalkal, and Darda. Shekol ze ino ra'aya. But that doesn't prove anything. So he is one of the giants of philosophy. That proves he's right. Aval asur, says Rabbi Avram, it's prohibited. You're not allowed to be gullible and just believe. Okay, so that was point number one. Rabbi Avram just took the chair out from under us. Now we have to question. Yes?
You have to just weigh the evidence, and you're not going to have complete proof, but you'll have decent evidence. It would be easy if it would be terrible if we had to say, okay, until I have beyond the shadow of a doubt real proof.
I'm saying there are areas where it makes sense to trust.
Right.
Yeah, you go to a doctor, if you're not going to take his medication, you have a problem. You go to a mechanic, you have a problem. You go to an electrician, you have a problem. There are going to be areas.
It's not blind faith, it's a step of faith based on history.
But there's a basis,
right.
And there's also I'm going to check it out. I'm going to find out other people, did they use
him? It's going to seem like we're really awake, but we're dreaming. Part of me would say I accept that. It seems bizarre, but it's kind of like a dream. That seems like it's probably true in many ways. But so there are things that go against.
Let's hear him out. He started with a basic point.
I'm happy with the word evidence that proves that. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry. So his first point was we're not supposed to have blind faith. His second point, which he's going to develop, which is really the point that interested you, which is the reason we opened this letter. His second point, and with this we're going to have to pause for tonight. ולפי הקדמה זו, and based on this intro, לא נתחייב, it is not incumbent, it is not logically incumbent upon us, מפני גודל מעלת חכמי התלמוד ותבונתן, לשלימות תכונתם בפירוש התורה, just because the rabbis of Talmud are so bright in Talmud, and they have such a breadth of understanding in Talmud, and they have such a wholeness in their understanding of Talmud, and Torah, uvedikdukea, and in the intricacies of Torah, v'yosher amareha, and how to apply Torah in its honest, correct path, beveyu klaleh uprateh. The rabbis knew how to dissect the Torah and use laws of inference, so they were masters of Torah. But that doesn't mean shenit'an lahem, that we now have to be their defendants and start arguing on their behalf. V'na'amid da'atam, and say, if the rabbi said it, I'm going to fight for it, because they're right. If the rabbis speak to me about medicine, if the rabbis speak to me about nature, if the rabbis speak to me about mathematics, so now I'm going to take the rabbis and say, because they're masters of Torah, so in all the sciences they're right. Who said? He says, based on what I just explained, so then even if the rabbis have won our confidence in interpreting Torah, in mastering Torah, that doesn't mean that I now have to fight for them, that if they said something about medicine or science, that they're for sure right. Their mastery is an area of Torah. I don't have to trust them in other areas just as I trust them in Torah, because in Torah they've proven to me that they're masters of Torah. So in Torah I say, okay, I'm going to listen to them. I see they know what they're talking about. And now because of that I have to listen to them in medicine? Who said they're right? Why would I fight for their case? They're intelligent people, but does that mean that they're masters of medicine? They're masters of Torah. V'lahem nimsecha lo'orotam livnei adam. Their responsibility is to teach man Torah. Kinyan shnemar al pi haTorah asher yiruha. The Torah says, you want to understand Torah? Go to the rabbis, they'll explain Torah to you. Ata roeh chachamim b'ma shlo nitbarer lehem mider svaratam u'masa matanam omrim ha'elokim.
You see that there are areas where the rabbis couldn't figure it out, and they said, I swear, if Yoshua bin Nun came here and told me to do this, I wouldn't listen to him. Meaning I wouldn't trust him. Even though Joshua was for sure a prophet, but if he came and told me about this area, this advice, I wouldn't listen to him. Because Yoshua's greatness is in Talmud, is in Torah, is in understanding what God wants of us through all that. So where there are areas that Torah and logic can't prove what's right, so then the rabbis say, I wouldn't listen to Yoshua. So he's a prophet, but he doesn't know. I don't know, and he doesn't know.
Why wouldn't he just say, I don't know? If someone of that stature, of that great.
If he has an opinion. And their point is, I don't give his opinion that way just because he's a prophet and in Torah and in the service of Hashem he knows. That doesn't mean he knows how to make my car run.
Right. But he himself, shouldn't you expect someone of his stature to say, it's my opinion.
Right. So that's what he's saying, that if Yeshua would say, right. If he came as a prophet, said, God told me to tell you this is what you're supposed to do. Okay, I trust him, he's a prophet.
You know that Torah is a little issues here. I don't know.
That's another point. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so there's, we're smack in the middle of the point he's trying to make, but I think we're out of time. You guys have dinner now. So we're, I think we'll pick up next Thursday, because I can't. You guys want to do this instead of Ein Yaakov on Monday?
What if you guys want?